This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deborah Wolf, your host, me, Deb Wolf. And if you've got suggestions, questions, problems, guest suggestions, anything at all you want to tell me, just send it to deb@petliferadio.com. You can do that in email or text or voice clip. I especially love the voice clips. I'd love to play you on air asking me your question, and then I'll answer it. And if you ask a question that's very difficult, that I don't know the answer to, I will find a guest expert to come on the show and give you your answer. So please, please keep them coming. All right, everybody. So let's see. Well, we're definitely going to talk about Taylor Swift one more time today because she does have three cats. And we covered the first cat. We covered the second cat. And now we are on the third cat. That's right. Benjamin Button. So we'll be talking about Benjamin Button a little bit later. Her other cats are Scottish Folds, but Benjamin Button is a ragdoll. And that's a different kind of cat. We're going to talk about that. So we talked about how Scottish Folds have a genetic defect and they can have special needs and sometimes soreness and pain as they get older. And I wanted Taylor to know that if she needs to talk about her cat or she has any questions at all, she should please contact me because I'd love to help her with how to make that cat, her first cat, Meredith Grey, has kind of become a little less interactive and a little less social, it seems, how to make her life a little more comfortable. So I'd love to talk with her about that. But in the meantime, later on in the show, we're going to talk about the ragdoll, Benjamin Button. And why is he so chill? Well, because he's a ragdoll. That's why. We'll cover that a little bit later. Sometimes people think all cats are the same, right? You get a cat, it's kind of like a pretty vase or a painting. Feed it once in a while. If you go away, you just get someone to check on it once in a while. Well, that's not really the deal. Cats are not furniture. They're not pieces of art, even though they're beautiful. They do need to interact. They need attention. They need exercise. They need entertainment. They need life. They're meant to be doing a lot in their lives if they were in nature. So if you confine them to an apartment or a house, you got to make up for it with stimulation, with things that are like hunting, chasing, games that are like that. My favorite cat expert, Dusty Rainbolt, used to say, cats don't want a playmate. They want a prey mate. And I think that's really good to remember when you're playing with your cat, your toy or whatever you're using, because don't use your hand, is prey. And they want to hunt it and catch it. And after they've done that for a while, they want to eat and then they want to sleep. So that's how you can entertain a cat and keep it active and keep it healthy and not obese. But not all cats are the same. If you get an Abyssinian and you are expecting a layabout cat that just wants to be pet, you're going to be disappointed. Now, if you get a Persian or a ragdoll and you wanted a cat that would do obstacles and learn tricks, you're going to be disappointed, most likely. Now, it does vary. I mean, there are individuals who are very outgoing in the ragdoll family, and there are individuals in the Abyssinian world who are a little bit mellow. But in general, cat breeds do matter. It's genetics. So Abyssinians are going to be able to climb things, and they're going to be able to learn tricks like jumping through hoops and doing obstacles fast, and they're going to love learning it. And ragdolls, well, they're going to love meeting new people and getting cuddles from everybody. So you kind of have to pick the cat you want according to your lifestyle. And what about all those cats that are just something, you know? Taylor Swift was on Jimmy Fallon and she ran through a whole list of cat breeds. She started with, I think, her own cats. I think she started with the Scottish Fold and the Ragdoll. And then she went into the Siamese and the Burmese and all the cats. And then she kind of ran out of names and she said, black cat. Okay, so most of us out here do not have some fancy cat with some ancient lineage. We have what you could call a black cat or an orange cat or a tabby cat. Okay, so most of those are domestic short hairs. That's their breed. Some of them are domestic long hairs, right? Depending on the coat. But most of those are American domestic short hairs, if that's what you've got. And an American domestic short hair could be mostly Abyssinian, could be partly Siamese, could be Persian. You don't know, but you can look at your cat Look at the kitten. Look at the rescue situation. Look at it and see what you think. Have a cat breed book right there with you and see, okay, who does this cat most look like? Because if it's got the long lines and the athletic body and build of one of the athletic cats, you can pretty much count on him being pretty active. If it's got a rounder, fatter body, more like the Persians, and the pinched face, more like those cats, then probably it's going to be a little less active. So you can kind of see what you get. Dr. Corin, the expert on dogs, says with mutts, what you see is what you get. If you look at a dog and he's got a round mouth like a retriever, and he's got floppy ears like a retriever, and he's got webbed feet on his toes, skin between each toe to make it easier to swim with, well, even if he maybe has Rottweiler markings, what you've got is mostly a retriever. You got a retriever cross. If you look at a dog and he's got none of those traits, but he has a big square head and jowls, well, you probably have a mastiff cross, right? And he says, in general, most often, the thing that most jumps out at you when you look at the dog, is what he is, right? If he looks like a border collie, but he's a little bit too tall, he's a border collie cross, and he's going to behave like a border collie cross. So part of it is looking at what they actually look like, their colors, their markings, their size, their build, but some of it is their behavior. So if you throw the ball into the pond and the dog jumps in and brings it back to you, you probably have a retriever cross. If you throw the ball in the pond and he looks like you, like you're nuts, and why did you throw that? I'm not going in there. Throw it on the land, please. You don't have a retriever. So most likely. Now, there's some exceptions, like, for example, standard poodles. Oh my goodness. Now, they are retrievers. They are cold water retrievers. That big foo foo hairdo is actually has a historical significance that's practical. They used to shave the dog where he needed to swim, like around the ankles and elbows and things that need to move. And they'd leave him really furry on the areas that don't need to move for insulation in the coldest waters. It's a poodle is a German hunting dog, not a French model, like people think. But anyway, so the poodle should be a retriever. He should jump right in the water. Except for some reason, not all poodles like water. Now, in my experience here at Camp Good Dog, the boarding kennel, we have a big spring-fed pond for the dogs to swim in. And I have noticed that even the poodles who do not like the water have no hesitation. If there's something in there, like a duck, a great blue heron, any bird at all, right? Any bird at all, and they are in the water. So that's a water dog. That's a retriever. It's just has a little confused breeding when they bred it different sizes and for different tasks along the way. So not all of them have continued to be bred for retrieving skills. Whereas if you look at a Labrador or a golden retriever, they've always been bred for those skills. Okay, so here's something interesting about those skills. Because a golden retriever, a Labrador, a Nova Scotia duck toller, all those retrievers, because their main job was to grab, well, flush it out in some cases, chase the, make it so the hunter can see the bird. And then when the wait, don't chase it themselves, wait till the hunter kills it and then go grab it and bring it back, drop it at the hunter's feet. That's the job, right? And it doesn't matter if the duck or the grouse or whatever it is wounded and flailing and fighting or dead. It doesn't matter. The dog is not supposed to eat it, and he's not supposed to mess with it, and he's supposed to gently, without harming any of it, carry it back to the hunter so the hunter can have a nice, tidy meal. Okay, so in order to do that, they had to breed only the dogs who had the most docile nature in terms of hunting, the least kill instinct, right? They don't kill anything. Not even a wounded dying bird, not even a dead bird. They won't eat it. They will bring it back reliably and drop it at his feet. So because of that, they can't really hunt. They're not very good at it, not at all. Some of them are pretty good at ratting, but they're really not good at hunting. And so what do they rely on for food? Anything they find. And that's why so often you meet an owner who has a lab or a golden, they say, I don't know. She just won't stop eating. She eats everything she finds at the park. She goes around the garbage can. She looks at the pizza boxes. She eats every scrap that was ever eaten by anybody. Any food is her food. Well, otherwise, they would have to be hunters. You're either going to be a scavenger or a hunter in the dog world. So That's the reason they're like that. But it also comes with some great features, like the absolutely gentle mouth, the mouth that's so strong, but doesn't want to bite, doesn't want to nip, doesn't want to do damage. And so they make great pets. So if you're a beginner owner and you're looking for a dog that's easy, go for a retriever. I always say that, or a retriever cross, even better. You get the hybrid vigor where you're less likely to have some kind of genetic disease that sometimes breeds have. And you get just a terrific dog. So go to the shelter, have a ball with you, bounce it a bunch of times. If the dog isn't interested, he's not a retriever. When you take it on your sample walk, see if he wants to drop the ball and take the ball. And sometimes dogs are hogs, right? They keep the ball, they won't drop it. That doesn't mean he's not a retriever. It just means he hasn't learned. So if he's interested in the ball and he picks it up right away and he'll go find it right away, and he comes almost back to you. Okay, that's a retriever. He just needs a refresher course. And you know what? Maybe I'll talk about the two ball drop trick later in the show. So if you're listening and you have a dog who likes to fetch a little and then no more, or doesn't fetch at all, he just grabs the ball and plays keep away with you. Stay tuned to the end of the show because I will tell you the two ball drop trick. It's magic. And I demonstrate it on YouTube. If you want to go to my YouTube channel, Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube, I demonstrate all kinds of things there. How to train cats to sit, shake paw, climb over obstacles, how to train dogs to do just about everything. So, including the two ball drop trick. All right, everybody. I'm going to go to break and we're going to come back. And it's time for Benjamin Button, Taylor Swift's cat, third cat. Let's talk about that. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello! You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and we're going to talk about Benjamin Button. Benjamin Button. Okay, so he was part of a program, and I love this, because even though, you know, Taylor Swift could order cats from wherever, she could pay whatever, she could even have a cat clone, she could do whatever she wants, right? But instead, this cat, it's a rescue cat. Yay. Not only that, but when Taylor traveled through Texas, the shelters there made a special promotion where you could get a cat. I believe it was half price or maybe even free. So her effect on the animal world is starting to be really felt. It's more than just a celebrity who happens to like cats. She's actually helping with cat rescue now. She's modeled it. And then when she went to this area, they made cat rescue front and center in the media and part of her media tour. It's awesome. So well done, Taylor. Thank you for the help with the cat rescue. Okay, so here we go. Benjamin Button. And Benjamin Button's a rag doll, and he was part of a program where they put cats in entertainment and commercials and things like that, cats that needed homes, hoping people would adopt them. And so Taylor was quoted as saying, he was just a cute kitten who didn't have a home. He was part of a program that tries to get cute kittens adopted by putting them in commercials and stuff, was what she said. Then she said, they handed me this tiny kitten and he just started purring and you're my mom and we're going to live together is how he looked at her. And then she said, I fell in love. So that was in 2019 and she put him in a TikTok video where she was lip syncing her song 22 in 2021 saying that Benjamin's 22. So it's so interesting. All right. So let's talk about rag dolls. Because rag dolls, well, for one thing, they're adorable. Adorable, adorable cats. They're big and they're beautiful. They don't reach their full size, which is 15 pounds. So most cats are around 10 or 12. So 15 is pretty big. It's not 18 or 20 like a Maine Coon, but it's big. So 15 pounds on average, but they don't get there till they're 4 years of age. So you might think you have a little cat and it keeps growing. They're really easygoing. They're social. They'll befriend almost anyone. And you better prepare your lap for a lot of cuddling, because that's what they're all about. They're like big floppy mops that just want to be pet. They just want their bellies rubbed. They don't need a lot of exercise. They're not that rambunctious. They're not the kind to knock stuff off counters, which actually was one of the breeds that she ended with when Taylor Swift was being interviewed in this comedy show. And she ran through all the breeds she knows. The last breed she mentioned was cats who knock pens off tables. So yeah, no, they don't do that very much, but they need their cuddle time. So if you're a person who travels all the time and you're away for long periods, that would make this cat very sad. Okay. They need people visiting them. They need touch a lot. So they crave families. They crave human attention. Their affection level is extremely high. They're kid friendly. They're pet friendly. I hate to say this, but intelligence wise, they're a medium. Now, I don't want people, well, if you want to text me or email me or complain and say, my ragdoll is very smart, go ahead. Tell me how smart your ragdoll is. In fact, send me a clip of it doing something smart, because I love to disprove this stuff. But in the rankings, compared to other cats, I hate to say it, but they're just a medium. It could be worse. It could be low. Like, their tendency to vocalize is really low. Now, that's a good thing, because most of us don't want cats that talk all the time. If you like a cat who talks all the time, then a Siamese or a Siamese cross is what you want. If you like the sound of a baby, then that's what you want. Okay, so even though they have fluffy hair, they don't shed that much. They don't have a big undercoat. But don't mistake them for hypoallergenic. They aren't. They still have the saliva and the dander and all the things that make people who are allergic to cats very affected. So twice a week, you got to brush them, because they do get tangles. And they could use some interactive cat toys, some stimulating toys like puzzles. But basically, if you cuddle them a lot and give them a lot of attention, and teach them a few simple commands like come and sit and lap and off and cuddle time, oh, they'll be great cats, and you'll love them. You'll love your ragdoll or your ragdoll cross. So that's what I want to say about ragdolls. And I think for the moment, we have finished talking about Meredith Grey and Benjamin Button and Olivia Benson. I think we're going to leave Taylor's cats for another day until she does something else that's so pro-cat that I'll have to mention her on the show, because I'm quickly becoming a Swiftie fan now that she's into the cat rescue scene. Can't help it. And I love her music. So everybody out there who's interested in Taylor Swift, what you can do to show your appreciation for Taylor is do something for cats. Because that's her happy place. That's where her heart is. So if you want to do something for cats, get involved in cat rescue. GiveThem10.org is a great way to start. Check it out. GiveThem10.org. Check them out. And you can help cats right now, wherever you live. You can get connected to the cat rescues. You don't have to take in a cat, although that would be great. You could foster one. You don't have to do that, though. You could just volunteer to stand at a booth, or volunteer to drive a cat to the vet sometime, or volunteer to do anything at all. Bring them blankets, anything. There's a lot of room to help in the cat world. So GiveThem10.org is a great place to start. All right, everybody, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about the two-ball drop trick. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Gifts for my pets.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French Bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French Bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to overthemoonjewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. We've all seen that person at the park. They throw the ball and the dog runs and gets it. And the dog runs back and then the dog goes, "You can't catch me." And he deeks and he moves. And the person lunges and they miss. And maybe the dog drops it on the ground. And then just as the person goes to pick it up, the dog picks it up. Okay, the dog is playing with you, the game you should be playing with it. The dog is playing keep away and hog and trying to get you interested in the ball. And the dog is showing you that that's game ball, game ball, game ball, game ball. And you're falling for it. Don't do that. What I like to do with a dog like that is I have at least two balls, maybe even three. And I put them in my pocket, two or three extra balls in my pocket, nice and clean. And he's got his stinky, all gobby ball that's all soggy and wet and foamy and gross. Yeah, that's his. Okay, that really is the game ball. But I can trick him. So what I do is I throw that sticky, disgusting ball, or better yet, I hit it with a racket or a chuck it toy so I don't have to touch it. And off he goes and he gets it and he comes running back. And I don't say good dog yet because that would reward him for half the trick. But I might smile at him and encourage him. And as he gets really close, and I mean really close, a couple feet away from me, 4 feet away from me, I show him that I have another ball. Ta-da! I pull it out of my pocket and I hold it up high, high in the air, and I show him. And he is stunned by this. He doesn't know what to do. Most of the time, he will drop his dirty ball right then and there and start staring at my ball. And then I will pick up his dirty ball, put my nice clean one back in my pocket, and throw the dirty ball again and repeat. And I'll start introducing commands like drop, good boy, and pick it up. Sit, good boy. Wait, good boy. Okay, go. And then I throw it and do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. And each time he tries to hold his ball and not give it back to me, I show him the new ball. Now, some dogs are pretty clever about this and they'll say, that's not game ball. My ball's game ball. And they'll start playing with it, right? They'll start dribbling it a little bit, like drop it, pick it up, or bounce it a little bit in their mouth. And they're trying to tease you. That's what I want you to do. Okay, so he comes back and he's not really willing to drop it. And he's doing all this nee, 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 at you. So take the clean ball and pretend that it is the most fascinating ball you've ever seen. Throw it from one hand to another, bounce it in your hand, rub it on your jacket, play with it a bit. You might put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up. Do what he does. You watch. He will drop his boring ball and he'll become interested in your interesting ball, your active ball, the ball you seem to want, the best ball, the game ball. That's when you pick up his dirty ball and you quickly put your clean one back in your pocket and you start over. That's the two ball drop trick. And if you want to see me demonstrate it with a bunch of different dogs, all are not willing to drop the ball at the beginning and by the end, they're doing it automatically. Check out Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. So why am I forcing him to play the way I want to play? Because the dog who does this, especially if he's young, maybe between age 2 and 8, 2 and 6, especially if he's a running breed, a sporting breed, a retrieving breed, a herding breed, any of these dogs. So we're talking pointers and German Shepherds and Spaniels and all of those dogs that are super, super fit. They are not benefiting from a game played wrong. What you really want when you only have 20 minutes before work is to have this dog run and run and run and run. So by the time you go home, his tongue's hanging out. He's totally happy and exhausted. He's had his morning workout and he's ready to sleep until you come home from work. What you don't want is a dog who da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da dances around and doesn't get a good workout and spends the whole time teasing you, right? That's not what you want. So in order for our dogs to get the exercise they need, especially the retrievers, they really need good fetch manners. You don't want them. You don't want to have to exercise as much as them, right? They're geared up for a lot more than us, unless you're training for a marathon or something like that. Unless you're an avid jogger and you go every day at the same time in a routine that can be counted on, where your dog can go. Unless that's the case, you really need fetch, and you need it good. You need them to bring it, drop it, wait. Not bark at you incessantly, not try and steal it back from you, not run and play keep away. No. You need the dog to fetch, bring, drop, retrieve. And the truth is, once they learn it, they like that way better than keep away and hog and all these other games. They really, really love fetch, but you just got to take the time to teach it to them. All right, everybody, that's our show for today. I just want to let you know where you can find me. Animal Party is on PetLifeRadio.com, where you can subscribe. But you can also find this show on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere podcasts play. I'd love it if you subscribe so you don't miss a show. But also on social media, you can find my training demos with real cats and real dogs, naughty ones. You can check that out at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And for pet laughs and great social media posts, you can see Deb Wolf, Pet Expert, on Facebook. Here at Animal Party, I welcome your pet questions, comments, and guest suggestions, especially if you have a pet problem. I'm begging you like a beagle, please send me a voice clip message or text message to deb@petliferadio.com, and I'll answer your question on the air. I can even, if you send me your contact information, we will try to arrange to speak with you off air, record it, and solve your problem together. If you're a first-time listener, you can scroll through the older shows and find the topic or expert guest that really speaks to you. Maybe it's dog breed bans, or the royal family pets, or pets in war zones, or how to train your cat to use a litter box. Whatever it is, you can find it on one of my old shows, and they're all there at PetLifeRadio.com. So I hope you'll tune in wherever you listen to podcasts to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And from me, Deb Wolf and Animal Party, be good to your animals. Oh, and my Latin, okay. Thanks to the listener who told me the other day, I'm going to add one more thing. All right, everybody. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.